This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman at Large and the City Council President. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Happy to be here.
You guys have been working overtime on top of overtime, meeting with state officials, trying to get things aligned. Y'all met the other day in Baton Rouge. Tell us about the outcome.
Well, essentially, the meeting in Baton Rouge was about trying to come to some agreement that a fiscal administrator would not be necessary, though we understood the seriousness and the scope of the crisis we're currently facing. It was really to try and realign with the state and figure out where, on what areas we could agree and we could move forward together to try and basically not just get out of this current fiscal crisis that we've inherited, but also to build upon it and rebuild public trust in the city budget and how we move forward.
So, obviously, the state had legitimate concerns. I think y'all would agree to that. Y'all obviously have concerns. So, what did y'all craft? What path is this going to go down?
Well, essentially, as you know, before the bond committee meeting was canceled and the fiscal advisory committee was canceled, we'd already passed a series of resolutions, including an investigation by the legislative auditor as well as the inspector general into how we got to the state going back to 2022. But more importantly, we had did a first file of creating a fund that would exist in ordinance where the RAN payment, the revenue anticipation notes would go into that fund, and both the auditor and the council would cooperatively ride shotgun on that fund to make sure that as money was drawn down for that fund, it was specifically for payroll and not for other uses. So basically, we tweaked the language on the fund to build some more support around it to show that we were not going to treat the revenue that we're getting from the state in a non-prudent way. And we basically, that coupled with the charter amendment that we'll be working on over the year to kind of really restructure how the city does budget and to build in a legitimate budget process where when the council and the mayor come to an agreement on a budget that's agreed upon, that A, the budget is the budget and that you can't spend money on items outside of the budget, and B, that if money is moved around in the budget, it requires a transparent, forward-facing process with the council's involvement. We really demonstrated that we are willing to really change the entire budget process to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, and I think the biggest selling point, JP, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not being this is not meant as criticism of anyone, but you guys ended up being surprised by a lot of different things, and you just need to avoid that, right? I mean, and I don't think anybody likes to find themselves in that position.
No, I mean, that's 100% correct. I mean, the challenge was, and I mean, I've been making this criticism for almost four years, that when I came from state government to local government, And I realized that there were certain things that just didn't jive. The first, obviously, was, and I know you and I talk about this, Noel, the fact that council committees are kind of BS and you can't actually kill something in the council committee. It's more like a rote part of a process to move things forward. And the second issue was that the budget is one giant suggestion where the council and mayor negotiate, but the charter gives the mayor and the administration unfettered authority once the budget has been passed to move money around and reconcile accounts with no council oversight. Now, typically, and it goes back to my whole like visceral dislike of the mayor emperor argument, if you've got a mayor that's on their P's and Q's, then that reconciliation, if they're keeping track of how money is spent, it doesn't necessarily blow up the budget, though it's not transparent. However, if you have a mayor that doesn't keep track of cash flow, for example, it creates an absolute catastrophe. And the way that law government should be structured is to work both for the best possible person in the job and the worst possible person in the job. It has to really have a check and balance on both. And what's lacking in our government, we did not know overtime was running tremendously over because no one was publicly tracking overtime in a way that anyone could follow. In fact, what we found out during the last month is that, Newell, and you'll appreciate this, as overtime was drawn down from the city's coffers, no one, including finance, was checking it. So basically, when you would put in your overtime numbers in brass, it would pull the money out the bank account, and no one in the CAO's office or CFO's office had to sign off on monthly overtime. So that is how the cash crunch went from the huge deficit to the separate cash flow implosion.
Yeah, and I mean, the dangerous thing about that, obviously, is that means that any other line item could be manipulated in the same fashion, right? I mean, if it worked for overtime, overtime is what I would refer to as somewhat of an extraordinary expense. So that should like rise to a level of review every month. Some of your others maybe not so much, but that means that could shuffle all kinds of things through without if they're not looking at it and not accounting for it on a monthly basis. And I know that the council never did get monthly reports. So
we never got monthly reports, and I mean there's just. The more we've dug into and working with the auditor as to kind of how a budget, because as you know, when Mayor Landrieu left office, the budget was less than $700 million. The budget has, with federal money from COVID, blown up to almost almost $200 to $250 more million dollars than it was under the Landrieu administration, and yet outcomes remain the same. And when you start really peeling back the levels, because I can't stress enough, Noel, what's been really disturbing is that line items in the budget in a lot of ways don't exist insofar as you see some, for example, you see some line items in the budget regarding expenditures for unclassified employees. Yet now that we're starting to get a breakdown for unclassified employees inside of the Cantrell administration, I'm going to give you one unclassified job and your brain's going to explode. There is a CEO or executive director of the Rivergate.
The Rivergate? It's gone.
Yeah, you know the thing that got demolished by Harrah's?
Yeah.
There's literally a person who is identified as a personnel individual making over $100,000 a year as a CEO or person over the Rivergate. Now, I don't know. We're trying to figure that out right now, because whether the position was filled or not filled, it exists inside of the mayor's portion of the budget as an unclassified employee. And as you know, unclassified employees are basically roles inside of the executive branch that are made up to kind of fit a certain purpose. Like, they'll create new positions like a deputy mayor that'll be a new unclassified employee, but those are front-facing people that you see on a website with specific goals. We cannot figure out where this Rivergate position came from, it's budgeted for a tremendous amount of money or what it does.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And no one's been able to tell you if they're paying a person in that position?
The request is in. We're waiting for a response. We just figured this out when, during the transition period, they disclosed the list of unclassified employees. But
interesting.
As someone who's a native of the city and native of the area, the moment many of us saw Rivergate, we're like, the Rivergate ain't there no more.
Right.
So how can someone be over it? I mean, literally, it doesn't exist.
Hey, if y'all keep that job, send me an application, please.
Well, I can tell you, as you can probably gather, in my conversations with the mayor-elect, whoever is the CEO or executive director of the Rivergate, their services would no longer be necessary in the next administration.
Yes. Obviously, for sure.
Yes,
so
right.
The legislative auditor then plays a role in this process, which I think he has been really fair and balanced in the way that he's approached this. I know him personally. I know him to be an incredibly competent individual. Obviously, there's a level of comfort for you guys with the role that he will play.
Correct. I mean, basically, he's been instrumental. He's the one that we called in the council request to come in to actually show what the actual deficit was, because the administration kind of gave us a sliding scale. And he's been instrumental in providing really the specific expertise, since he looks at all budgets in the state of Louisiana, including the legislature's budget, in helping us identify where we have some massive inefficiencies and B, how we can make our government more efficient. The real issue, which is a good thing, is that part of the condition of getting the RAND loan and the money going into this fund is not just those monthly reports. He's going to be required to be provided with weekly reports as far as cash spent. I mean, it's a really working with Mike, we really have kind of created kind of a laundry list of data that has to be provided so that the legislative auditor can track spending in real time to make sure that spending that actually happens is concurrent with what the council has agreed to and done in a transparent way. Because remember, the thing which people really haven't grasped is that the $125 million we're getting in those notes, that covers payroll. We have vendor payments. We still have to look at tax revenue that's coming in and figure out, using that tax revenue, how to pay all the vendors that currently have outstanding notices. So even though this $125 million gets us out of the cash-strapped position we are to make sure people get paid, we are still far from out of the woods. We are like, we were in the middle of the woods with no map. Now we're like off-center with a map maybe to get out. So we're not out of the woods yet. And it's really important to note, as you know, that part of pulling a revenue anticipation note means that we have $125 million prospectively less next year in the budget. So though it solves this year's problems, it's at the expense of next year's budget being even slimmer than it was already.
So this highlights something, and I noticed that it wasn't given much traction, and something that the legislative auditor noted and said, and Mike Wagesback, that is, that there needs to be some remedial actions taken immediately, some cost-cutting, some other things. How willing has this administration been thus far to do so? And is the council pushing on that issue?
The council is pushing very hard on that issue. As you know, I was the person who created the New Orleans Revenue, the Youth Recreation and Cultural Fund, which funds nonprofits throughout our city doing tremendous work. We took it off the table. And that's literally the council's largest expenditure annually for the last 3 years because we take the budget crisis seriously. There is a lot of mixed messaging. You saw from NOLA.com reporting that the CAO at one point was telling employees there would be no firing and no furloughs. And for us, we're like, listen, we're all trying to avoid firings and furloughs, but you can't just say that with absolute impunity because we don't know how bad this is. And so there has been some missteps. For the most part, there has been a willingness to make cuts, but I think part of the disconnect, as you can imagine, is part of what the administration made very apparent early on was they wanted to tax our way out of this. And as you know, for a very basic mechanical level, if we even created new taxes and fees, many of them we would not receive until middle of next year. So there was no way to like...
There's no appetite for that. Right. There's no appetite for that. That's wasted energy talking about that.
Well, to your point, part of the disconnect we've had in some of these conversations is that is the council's position in that we have to make sure that we've eliminated every inefficiency we can find and how we are spending existing revenue before you look at new revenue. And that's part of where Mike is so valuable. If you've got black holes in your budget that's eating all your money and you feed more money into the budget, the same inefficiencies will eat all that money. It's the same reason why government has grown so exponentially over the last last two terms, and yet services haven't improved. So until you fix the inefficiencies in government, I mean, part of this whole process really, and I mean, I can't say this enough, there is a really, really reasonable lack of trust on behalf of the public in government's ability to manage its budget and resources. Until we work with Mike and have a healthy forward-facing budget that we know we can pay for, and then we can make this case to the public as to in the future, if we need revenue for specific enhancements that will improve quality of life, that's down the line. You don't make that case while government's kind of collapsing in on itself.
Yeah, you know, the thing that causes me yet even more concern, you know, when the CFO is telling people, look, there's not going to be furloughs. The quicker you right the ship, right, and you take the remedial actions necessary, the quicker you'll get back on all fours as you know, the government finances moving forward. And one of the easiest ways to do that, although painful, I get it, but I think is going to be ultimately necessary, and this is just my opinion and it may not be yours, is, you know, one day a week furlough, because that has immediate impact on cash flow and spend. And my experience has been in watching many other governments do it, fortunately we never had to do it, but the reality is that it doesn't have the proportionate impact on the delivery of the negative impact on city services. You can get over that, you know, in the short term, but man, it has a huge impact on your numbers, and you right the ship right away, and in the end, you end up saving more jobs. And, you know, if there's a goal to save more jobs, that's one of the easiest way to go about doing to get that immediacy. I know it's something that everybody's looking at. It's just my two cents. I'm just disheartened by a CFO who would go out there and say that, because that's an incredible tool. It's not one you like to pull all the time, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary to save their job. A little pain in the beginning for some reward in the end, right? It'll be interesting. 100%.
I mean, the main issue to look at is, like, right now, furloughs, certainly if you look at the history with Mitch Landrieu post Nagin, you look at Bartholomew post Dutch Moriel, when you're trying to write a budget and you're building a budget, and next year, certainly that's going to be on the table. The challenge is right now, in the window we have of these 2 months, it's like you're literally drinking water through a fire hose. And it's like right now, we're simultaneously trying to get through the end of the year while building next year's budget, and we all need to be saying the same things.
You know, the difficulty, though, is right now is the best time to do that, furlough. That's the tragic situation that we find ourselves in, is that if we had a forward-leaning, credible leader, mayor, she would be sitting down with the council talking about these options right now, because it'll pay back exponentially for when the new administration comes on. If you are one that thinks that the entity's interest outweighs the individual's, right? The entity being the city of New Orleans.
Well,
that's what credible leaders do.
I mean, I will tell you that it is very interesting trying to thread the needle on any given day with...
Oh, I can't imagine.
The conversations that we're having regarding how this year's budget affects the next year's administration, because you want to believe in these conversations that the current administration cares about the next administration, but sometimes it's hard.
No, to be candid. Well, it's not hard to read the room sometimes. Absolutely. As always, truly appreciate the conversation with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. The listening audience appreciates it for sure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Noel. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That's J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman at Large and the City Council President. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.